You can be seated, and please turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5, verse 26. And praise God, last week Scott filled in while Juanita and I were down visiting our son down in Oregon. Scott taught on the topic of saving belief, what it is to believe, what an awesome thing. And we're gonna actually see that same message today with the king of the first Medo-Persian king that took over from Babylon and was in charge of Daniel's world at the time. We see that he believed, but he didn't saving belief. And it's important for us to all to come to saving belief. And 2 weeks ago, we were in Daniel chapter 5, where it talks about the handwriting on the wall, that God was looking down at Babylon, the king Belshazzar, who the Bible calls the son of Nebuchadnezzar, probably the grandson, but son or grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and he's having a big drunken party with the articles from the temple. And God looks down and he, you know, miraculously makes a hand start writing on the wall, meeni, meeni, tekle, pharsa, which means, I see what you're doing, and I've weighed you in the scales, and you're found wanting, you're going to be destroyed. And we see that, and we emphasize, close with the fact that the handwriting's on the wall for the world today, too. And it's all over the world. And even the news this last weekend was really big about the fact that the Irish, who have been under the law that they can't have abortions there, they finally went to the polls and on a 2-to-1 margin opened up abortion to Ireland. And I just sit there and I go, is there no fear of God? You know, don't you feel, you know, as the thief on the cross that Scott talked about last week, they're both mocking God at first, and then one of the thieves goes to the other one and says, don't you fear God? Don't you understand that we are here and we're going to be standing before God? We have sinned and we're being justly crucified, but this man has done nothing. Don't you fear God? And oh, I hope everybody in this room has a healthy, loving fear of God. And when we look around, though, we see the trend is to a lack of love for God, a lack of fear of God. And so we know the handwriting is on the wall, that someday God's judgment's going to fall upon this world. And we're going to cover, if we get there, a little bit of the prophecies pertaining to the future days to us. And so let's get into, and so we're going to get into the Medo-Persian Empire here in the famous story of Daniel in the lion's den, and then we're going to maybe get into a little bit of chapter 7. So in 5:26, the handwriting on the wall stuff, this is the interpretation of each word, meaning God has numbered your kingdom, King Belshazzar of Babylon, and finished it. You have tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting, Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And then Belshazzar gave the command that they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And as I emphasized a couple weeks ago, I mean, Daniel's basically telling him, you're done. Oh, okay, I'll make you the third in the kingdom and you'll be the third guy. No, don't you understand? I said, you're done. You're going to be judged. You're going to die tonight, is what this says. And again, he should have believed. People hear what's going on and they just don't want to believe. They don't want to believe the consequences of their actions against God. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius, and I usually call him Darius, because when I used to call him Darius, somebody said, no, the proper pronunciation, non-Western, is Darius. So, Darius, Darius, whatever. The Mede received the kingdom being about 62 years old. So, Cyrus was the one involved as the general conquering it, but Darius was put in charge, according to the book of Daniel. So, now, reading between the lines, as when any country conquers another country, the Medo-Persians conquering the Babylonians, they know all the strengths and weaknesses of Babylon. For decades, Daniel has been one of the wise men of Babylon. He would have been traveling. He would have been a foreign minister. He would have been well aware. I mean, people around the world would have known about Daniel, one of the chief wise men of Babylon, made so by Nebuchadnezzar at first as one of the Jewish boys that was brought in to the nation of Babylon. And almost certainly, when Cyrus and Darius are conquering Babylon that night, in one night, they would have heard about what Daniel said about meaning, meaning, Tekel-Upharsin. They might have even gone in as they're killing all the Babylonians and all the drunks that are there and the soldiers that were supposed to be guarding the city. They must have been told when all the dust has settled and everybody's been run through, hey, what's this writing on the wall? What's that meaning, meaning, Tekel-Upharsin? while they're parting with the Jewish articles from the temple, this hand wrote these words, and Daniel was brought in and he interpreted and said, you guys were coming and going to destroy him tonight. That would have been a big deal. And so I'm going to add that as reading between the lines. It's not being unreasonable to read between the lines. So chapter 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, governors, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, over those 120, he put three governors, of whom Daniel was one. Okay, now, so it's not like he just picked them randomly. He already knows this guy is something. This guy prophesied the destruction of Belshazzar and his army in one night. He did all these other things that Nebuchadnezzar, he interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. I want him as one of my wise men. And over these three governors of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. He put total trust in Daniel's wisdom, keeping him out of trouble. He liked Daniel. He considered him a wise man. Then this Daniel, verse 3, distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now, many of you have gone, you've gone from not working in the shipyard here locally to working in the shipyard. And I have told some of you, and I say, if you just live a God-fearing life of giving 8 for 8 and everything, you're going to excel in the shipyard, because that's not normal. And if you just stay out of all the garbage that happens and all the immorality and everything else that happens, you will excel. And it's so crazy that people don't figure that out. You would think most people want to get a job and excel and be able to just minimize the distractions and the hardships in their life, but they don't, because they want to get into Satan's world and Satan brings destruction. Well, Daniel, he had an excellent spirit. Where did that excellent spirit come from? From Jesus, from the fear of God. And we as Christians, God is calling us as Christians to have that excellent spirit. To watch what we say in the workplace, to watch about the attitudes, that we don't join in the dog eat dog and, climb in the ladder and all this other stuff, and just go act like when you're working for your boss, you're working for Jesus. Because in a sense, you are. You're working for God. You know that He's looking. He knows you're not sneaking around and taking a nap and doing all this other stuff. And so, he distinguished himself. Verse 4. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Wow. Now, I would imagine they didn't have all the technology they have today to find out what's going on in your life, but I bet you they thought of everything they could. Of all these years, everything that was happening, and they could not find a single thing. They're jealous. They don't want him to be made the king, the head guy over them. He's a foreigner. He's a Jew. Why? We got to do something to get rid of this Daniel. And this is what 2 Timothy, this is what Paul said, his final letter. He's saying, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. 2 Timothy 2:19. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's a good verse to memorize, right? He knows whether you're really His. He knows whether you truly have laid down your life to love Him till death you do part. I mean, till death you depart this life to go be with Him. You're not going to be a flake on God. And He says, if you have that relationship with me, then depart from evil. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. so that we can be like Daniel, so that we can have an excellent spirit, so that we can be a witness to the pagan world, so that God can use us in miraculous ways to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we live in a world where people are always wanting to look for dirt on you. They do. And now all they have to do is, there's, you know, three or four websites I know of, you know, it's that all you have to do is type in somebody's name, promise that you're not going to use it for anything that's bad, and they'll give you, it searches every social network, every federal and local police record and everything else, and you can find out anything about that person. And so then ask yourself the question, what would yours be? Somebody, you know, let's say you're being elevated by an excellent spirit and somebody says, hey, let's run them. Let's run them through a check and find out what's going on. And if the answer is, oh, I'm not clean, well, then let today be the day it's clean from now on. Amen? That from now on it would be clean. And you could be able to say, yeah, I would remember I was sitting there. I asked God to challenge my spirit to be an excellent spirit from this day on when I was reading Daniel chapter 6 or chapter 5 and so 6. And so I am going to serve him, and that's when my record cleaned up. That's what it should be. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of God. Oh, that should be true about us. We should try to strive to be that way. We should live in a way that there would be no way they could cuff us. No way that they could cuff us, except for this person is a religious fanatic. And then they just decide to put you away. And again, just consider all that we're seeing around us, all these things from decades ago at times, and Me Too movement and everything else that is springing up around, it's a curse in our society. I mean, it's just all this stuff is having an overall effect on people. And we should be not, you know, and especially you guys, I think about it with the Me Too, make sure, guys, and the Lord laid this conviction on me a long time, there should be never, ever an immorality conversation towards a woman. Should never, ever be. And actually one of the Hollywood people this last week said, boy, what has happened to our country that you can't even hit on a woman? You know, that's what this Hollywood movie actor. It's like, what's wrong with it? You can't just, you know, flirt and be around, you know, and that's the corrupt world, guys. It's so strange that the world is so full of sexual immorality. They promote it, they glorify it, they want it, but then as soon as somebody says something and does something, they want to just destroy them. It's just insane what Satan has done to us. But for us, we know that God doesn't want us to talk derogatorily and just look at the outside and just talk about the lust. We shouldn't be doing that, guys. We shouldn't ever be saying that. We should be honoring women. We should be realizing, we should be faithful. If you're single, you should be faithful to the one that you're going to marry by not flirting around with the things that we say and do in this world. You should wait until God gives you the one. And if you are married, there should be never a time your voice ever communicates something flirtatious, immoral to somebody else, ever. And I say that by being told that in the non-believing workplace, two adulteries were just discovered here recently in a job situation by coworkers. And it's going to destroy marriages, destroy things that are going on. Should not be in our world, guys, right? So let's make it that way by the grace of God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So they're laying a trap for him. All the satraps except for who, do you think? Except for Daniel. They're all there. We have some new legislation. All it needs is your signature, King Darius. And with your signature, anybody that bows or worships any god but you is going to be sent to the lions. Now, how did he get set up? What was the way he got set up? appeal to his ego. You think the devil might try to set you up with some, talking about guys again, think the devil might want to set you up with some floozy at work? Wants to appeal to your ego. Oh, you're such a great guy. Does your wife appreciate you as much as I do? Whatever. Do you realize that you have to at that point say, this is a setup. I learned about it in Daniel. It's anything that appeals to my ego is actually something that has come from the devil, Satan. And I've got to turn away from him and to leave it. And if you've ever fallen into this situation, and even, do we all want to agree that that's the reality? That's what our attitude should be. If our attitude ever fails in that, would we agree that we have to repent of it and we have to agree with God it was sin and turn away from it? Yes. Right? So, the first was appealing to the ego of the king. The second was to lie. Because Daniel wasn't there. They left Daniel off. They lied. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. So he was deceived. And then here, you've got to sign this. Now, this is the point that I want to make as far as I've been saying. We're going through Daniel because we want to look at our situation in our day. And for those that weren't here for Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He sees a head of gold, a chest of silver, stomach of bronze, legs of iron going down to feet with 10 toes, 10 kings, and Jesus comes back and destroys that final empire by dashing the 10 toes, the 10 kings at the last days, the 10-nation world empire. And the whole thing comes down. And we saw that Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold because he was a ruthless dictator. He answered to nobody. And what we're going to see here is the Medo-Persians, the chest of silver, takes over from Babylon. And it's inferior because Darius is, what's being told here is you sign this law. When this law gets signed, nothing can change it. Darius can't change it. So the first attempt at global government, Nebuchadnezzar, was ruthless dictator. Nobody could do anything. Nothing. He made all the decisions. Nothing. He answered to nobody. Second world empire. We're not going to have a dictator. We're going to have a leader, but he will answer to the law. The law. Everybody joining together and figuring out what the law should be. The law is what's going to rule. Sign it, king. And now, Darius is not able to go against this decree. And we're going to see that in our story today. And I want to emphasize that because then the Greeks come. The Greeks bring culture and language to the world. They control the world by culture and language. In the next chapter of Daniel, it talks of, he has another vision where he has a lion and a leopard and a bear. And those are typified by Babylon, the Medo-Persians, and the Greeks. And we see, and then we go to Revelation, and we see that the final world empire, the global Antichrist, is going to use those powers of all the nations before. He's going to be a ruthless dictator. He's going to use law, and he's going to use culture and language to oppress the people of the world. To be completely ruthless over the world. And I know that might be a little bit too quick, but that's where we're going with the study. The Daniel's laid it out. We can know what that last world empire is going to be from the book of Daniel. Now, so what would you do? Darius should have asked Daniel, shouldn't he? He should have said, okay, everybody, Daniel, where's the guy I was going to make in charge of everybody? Daniel, where are you? Do you think I should? You're a Jew. And if I sign this as a Jew, you're really going to, these guys all said, everybody agrees, are you going to bow down to some other god, which is a violation of your commandments? Are you going to, I'm signing something that you would have to violate the law of God that you serve. But he signs it. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and was as was his custom since early days. Did Daniel care what the law changed? Didn't care. Should we care? Do you think laws are coming to our country that could affect our ability to freely worship God as He prescribed? Already happened. It's already happened. What are we going to do? Are we going to just go along with what the world says to do? By the way, where is he opening his windows towards? Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem is God's city that was given to the Jews, that Daniel knew and watched and witnessed and heard about being destroyed because of the sins of the Jewish people. And he knows that someday the Jews are going back there, and so he worships Jerusalem 1,000 years before Muhammad comes along, and who leads his people to pray towards where? Mecca. But they want Jerusalem because of the demonic nature of the whole world fighting over this city, Jerusalem. The Islamic religion was never about Jerusalem until it was time to make sure that the Jews couldn't be back in the land, which was God's plan for the city. But it's always been the Jewish capital since they first were given it to them by God. And Daniel kept his convictions. It would have been blasphemous for him to kneel to King Darius. It would have been blasphemous for him to honor King Darius above his own God. And God, really, in all of the things that he calls us for in a relationship with him, is much like the family. When we get married, when Wani and I married almost 43 years ago, we were saying to each other, forsaking all others, cleaving only unto you as long as we both shall live. Now, and think about it this way in your own, for all of you that were married, you had the same thing between you and your spouse, probably spoken. And what if somebody put a gun to your head and said, you know what, I am going to kill you unless you're unfaithful to your spouse in the next 30 days. You have to be unfaithful to your spouse the next 30 days. What would you do? Because see, that's really, we don't look at it this way. It's hard for us to look at it when the country makes these laws. That what the world is doing, what the curriculum in the school system is doing, what the laws are doing is trying to get us to slowly be like that frog in the water. Well, it's not that bad. I'll just compromise a little bit. I will hold my head down, etc., etc. Keep my head down. And what they're really doing is telling us to change our mindset to compromise a relationship with God. You know, I should be able to say, no, I'm not gonna be unfaithful to my wife. And what Daniel says, and I don't care if you feed me to the lions. And you know what? Juanita would be better with that. She would be better. You better take a bullet. You better get fed to the lions. What do you mean you'd be unfaithful to me? I want you dead rather than unfaithful, right? I mean, that's technically the way it should be. So, aren't we glad that Daniel wasn't unfaithful to God? Because he had a lot more to be used by God to do what was right. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication, verse 11, making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. It is true, and there is no way to change it. Oh. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Man, I wish I could be accused of three times a day bowing. You know, I'm going to leave my lunch break. I'm going to go and bow before the God of Israel. I'm going to spend my lunch time in prayer to God. How many of you could be accused three times a day your whole life, as was your habit, since the day you became saved? You give three times a day, you sit and you make sure that you and your relationship with God, I'm on a lunch break, I want to have some time with you. Dad, I'm on a dinner break, and I want to have some, God, my Father in heaven, I want to have some time with you. Morning, I just woke up. I want to have some time with you, as your habit is for your whole life, and he's an old man, 80 years old. Anybody here? Should we all strive to think about maybe we should just get up and do that? So, they've got, we got you, Daniel, we got you. Except people should learn from history. You don't always got you on the people that God wants to take care of. And see, they got him. Here's how they think they got him, is even if he were to have bowed to save his own neck, let's say he would have bowed to Darius, okay, and I'm going to stop bowing to God. I'm going to stop my relationship. I'm going to say, hey, I have to stay away from you, God, to have my little thing with the world and save my life. They would have told the Jews that were still in the land, hey, you know this Daniel guy, according to your law, he worships another God. He worships Darius. He stopped worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you call him one of your great men? Daniel, well, according to the law of Moses, if a Jew were to turn away from worshiping God and worship somebody else, what's supposed to happen to them? It's supposed to be stoned. So they, in a sense, they've got Daniel one way or another. Well, Daniel chose to be true to God, and so now they say he's got to die. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored until the going down of the sun to deliver him, but there was nothing he could do. Now, if it was Nebuchadnezzar, what would he have done? He would have just said, change my mind. I don't want to kill Daniel. Forget you guys. But Darius can't because he's under the law. He's not above the law. Now, here's an example. I just got a letter in the mail yesterday from the wife of a judge in Oregon. It's an appeal for financial aid for the legal defense of this very well-respected judge. And the way the judges work, if a prosecuting or a defense attorney comes before the judge and thinks the judge, because of the case they're bringing, it should recuse themselves because there's all kinds of biases that he's had at other times, then they file a motion for him to be removed from their case. He's had, in all of his years of being a judge, he's had 15 typical judges of his tenure are like 90-some. Very esteemed, respected on both sides. People don't, no matter what side, they want that judge because he's a fair and honest judge. Until he made the comment in Oregon, I'm not going to do any same-sex marriages. And now, just this last week or a couple weeks ago, he's been suspended for 3 years from the Oregon judge job that he had. His family has gone through every bit of funds that they have. They're selling their house. They're appealing to the Supreme Court after being kiboshed by the Oregon State Supreme Court. They went after him. We got you. You can't do this. The law of the Medes and the Persians have declared that you shall embrace and encourage same-sex marriage, transvestite, LGBTQ, XYZ, etc., etc., and you shall bow to that God. Well, and, he's suffering. And the tragedy, not in her letter, but I did some research. The other thing they brought up, and look, he let a convicted felon have a gun on two occasions. A convicted felon by a felony DUI. And he had, must have been, I don't know the story, must have been a friend of the family that he said, hey, here's a gun, teach my son. He must have been, before he got his felony DUI, had known how to shoot a gun, and I want you to target practice and whatever else. And so they got him on. See, he was not above reproach because they were able to find out something on him. And then they bring that. You let a convicted felon have a gun. I could see myself not even knowing I was doing that with somebody that had been a convicted felon. And here, I know you're a friend and whatever else. But see, they got you. That's not the reason they went after him. They went after him because he crossed the line of our day. So I'm just saying that what we're going to see is that Daniel gets spared by God. We're living in a time where we're headed to the tribulation period where we find out that nobody gets spared by God. We're getting to the time where the last world system is going to bite and devour and destroy the saints. Now, God's going to take his church off before it happens, but those who live into the tribulation and become believers after we're gone, they're all going to be delivered to the lion's den, and the lions are going to get them, according to the word of God. So pray for this judge in Oregon. I'm not going to give his name. Pray for him. Pray for his family. And again, if he knowingly gave a gun to somebody, he goes, oh, who's going to care? I mean, nothing's going to... See what I mean? We can compromise in a small way. I've done it myself. I thought, man, I don't want to do this because it's just not perfectly, you know, right. And then I go, I hate it. I hate when I have to do something that's not perfectly right, but I think it's not going to come back. Who knows if it's going to come back? Who knows if it's going to come back? And it's good to try again, strive to be above reproach. He heard these words and he was greatly bothered because he can't even undo his own decree. He got duped by these guys. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, O king, that is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So you got to do it. You've got to destroy him whether you want to or not. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. So now is Darius saved? Kind of think so, don't you? But you have to look closely. Who is he talking about? Did he say, and our God will save you? No. He says, your God will save you. See, a lot of people in the world, they have a respect for Jesus. They have a respect for the God of the Bible. They might even know that the God of the Bible is superior to the gods, to the other gods around. But until you say, my God, until you say the one I'm putting my trust in, till you have what Scott was teaching last week, you don't believe in Jesus, you believe Jesus. You believe everything that he said. You believe that he is your Lord and Savior, God Almighty, and him you will serve until you die. He doesn't seem to have it in his heart, but he has it in his head. And actually, how else do we know? Could you have been made to sign a decree that says everybody's got to worship you? There's something seriously wrong if you think that you want everybody in your business, your home, or whatever to worship you as God. He's still into the flesh. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring and the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. When else was this is supposed to be Daniel's tomb, right? When else was a tomb sealed with a signet ring of kings? You know, it's like they're sealing him. He's going to be dead in this tomb. And they're sealing it. Nobody can rescue him. Nobody can get him out of here. He's dead. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Now again, he has a mental knowledge of the God of Israel, but he didn't say our God. By the way, Daniel, I prayed all night, and I'm trusting in your God, and so has our God delivered you from the lions. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. I must serve God rather than man. I haven't done wrong to not worship you, because to worship you would be doing wrong. I'd be playing to your idea that you should be worshipped, which is actually detrimental for your soul. For us to regard people in their current unsaved status as saved or somehow, acceptable to God is actually a horrible thing to do to people. We are required to be honest with people that they're they're lost. If they are lost, we should be honest with them to let them know that they're lost. Because it's the only way that you're helping them. You're helping them to realize I'm sick, you know, that they're sick so that they can look for a cure. The cure is Jesus. It's only Jesus. They have to get humble on their knees and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And I've always had the idea that it was a den that they went in, but it seems like it was a den dug down. So it was a straight down hole that they laid the rock on. Out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought these men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Now, I think God let us have that piece of information so that we'd know it wasn't because they were hungry. They didn't not eat Daniel because they weren't hungry. That it was a miracle. God miraculously delivered Daniel. And I wonder, you know, just have you ever put yourself in Daniel's lion's den? They open the door and you're going to go down. And, you know, part of me would be thinking, how bad is it going to hurt until they finish me off? And God, I know lions, they're hungry. When they're hungry, they eat. But God, I know you're great. I know you work miracles. But are you going to? Are you going to? And if I get down there and they're just staring at me, I'd be sitting, how long can you stare? Did Jesus tell you to stare? Jesus, keep telling him to stare. I actually think of the aspect of how many of you have trained dogs, and the coolest thing with training a dog is put their favorite doggy biscuit right on their nose. And you train them that they're not allowed to take it until you tell them. And because I don't want to be accused of animal abuse, I've never waited more than a few seconds because, you know, can you imagine? You're just sitting there watching over your dog, and you said an hour goes by, 2 hours goes by, 3 hours, all night goes by. If somebody saw that, they go, we need to turn you into the authorities for animal abuse. And what God basically did is those guys were probably sitting there with the Daniel biscuit on their nose. And then God says all night long, no, 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 no. But, oh, and then the other guys come down, time to eat. Time to eat, and all the lions jumped on him. So, and here's the other lesson. And even with this judge situation, the judge and his wife and his family, the picture of the wife, the family, the kids, if you look at the picture, seems like squared away kids. And squared away family. And they might lose everything. The lions are going to eat them. In the sense that they could be reduced to absolutely nothing. But you know what? Judgment day is coming. For the world that hates us. For all the people that are involved in just saying, we hate Christians. We hate people that have this attitude. We hate the people that believe in God's written word over the authority of the marriage. I read an article that people are saying by 2025, people are going to be marrying robots. So pretty soon pastors are going to be told, you got to marry this guy and his robot. And if you don't do that, we're going to make you so you're not a judge. I mean, how crazy is this world going to get before we finally figure out we're sticking our finger in God's eyes, who has created marriage. He created it as an example of him and what he has done and what he said for those man and woman, Adam and Eve, to come together and to be fruitful and multiply to his glory the way he commanded. And Satan is there trying to destroy every aspect of marriage and the normal sexual relationship between a man and a woman. He destroys it in every way that he can. And willy-nilly, this country and this world is going off to follow Satan to our own destruction. Well, not to our own destruction, but to the societal and global destruction as the judgment of God. You see, the judgment of God came on these guys when their plan to destroy Daniel fell back on their own head. And the world is planning to destroy us, to destroy God-fearing people. It's going to come back on their own head in the tribulation period. And for that, we can just, we can just be patient. The judge wasn't, the letter from the wife wasn't all, freaked out at the people that were attacking, because they're deceived. And it's our job to try and help them to realize how they're deceived. And then the king Darius wrote, "To all people, nations, languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion in my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end." Again, maybe he's saved, maybe he's not. He hasn't made it his God yet, but he acknowledges a truth. The God we serve, he lasts till the end. He's the only one that can shut the mouth of the lions. He's the only one that can open the, to raise Jesus from the dead and leave an empty tomb. He's the only one that can part the waters. He's the only one that can save your soul. He's the only one that can give us life. He's the only one that can take all of our sins that we have ever committed against God, no matter how bad they are. And I emphasized this last Thursday in the jail. I don't care what you've done. You can be saved and delivered and forgiven by Jesus, and you can walk from here on out to serve him. Only he can do that. There is no other God. No matter what you've done, you can get clean, but today's the day to get clean. Today's the day to say, "God, forgive me, and I want to walk with you." He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He's a smart guy. He understands all that God had done to destroy the Egyptians, all the signs and wonders that had happened. He's coming to grips with that reality, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the region of Darius and in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So, and this fact helps us in so many ways to understand our world. When Nasrallah this week, this is May 25th, 2018, a couple days ago, Hezbollah's, you know what Hezbollah means in Arabic? It means party of God. Which God is he talking about? Party of Allah. This is where God, Allah, is our God. Hezbollah, terrorist organization in Lebanon, their leader is Nasrallah. If there will be a war with Israel, we will win. What do you think the chances of him being right are? Oh, Darius could tell him. Nebuchadnezzar could tell him. Darius could tell him. Pharaoh of the Exodus could tell him. There's thousands of people that could tell him, you're fighting the Jews, you're fighting the God of the Jews, and he has spoken. Yes, God has allowed people to destroy the Jews in the past for their sins, but his prophetic word says in the last days he's going to bring them back from all the nations of the world, and he's going to put them back into the land of Israel, and they're never going to be removed from there again. And you think that you're going to go against the God of Israel? And they're planning on attacking Israel. They're planning on having war. And we're going to watch. We're going to watch and see a Daniel in the lion's den episode. Chapter 7, verse 1. We're actually going back in history. And actually, you know what? I don't have time. So we're going to let, and Scott started a trend last week, from what I understand. He ended a little bit early last week, right? So, I have to make sure I get through the thought here, or it's going to be kind of meaningless. So we're going to close with that. But I just want to emphasize again, man, I remember when I was working in the shipyard, and I felt led by God to have a Wednesday lunch Bible study, which we had. Building 850, if I remember correctly. It's been a while. And I remember when Clinton became president that he made a decree, his EEO, branch of the government made a decree that federal government buildings could not be used for any Bible studies. And, that you would be, your job would be in jeopardy. And so people came and they said, Kevin, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to have a Bible study. Now, fortunately, there was enough fearing of God people within the Congress that quickly got turned around. But I was thinking at the time, man, that'd be weird to lose my job because we're going to have a Bible study here. Because it was so illegal in every other way to everything about America. And I wanted to take a stand. If we don't take a stand for certain things, then we're not standing for anything. You got to stand. You can't let them just turn the water up on the frying frog. You got to say we're not going to do it. And I've often thought back because we did, and it quickly got turned around. But if I would have stopped it, and then now it's legal, we can start it again. What kind of a witness is that really? No, I'm not going to. We're not going to stop it. And I don't care what they say. Kevin, they might fire you. I don't care. I said, I don't care. I would have cared. In the aftermath, I would have still been trusting. But this is the issue. I didn't care because it was the right thing to do. It's okay for us to do the right thing all the time. And just kind of let the second thing you think about is the consequences for doing the right thing. But only spend a minute on there saying, and you know what, God, even that is okay. I don't care what the consequences are. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to be faithful to my wife. I'm going to be not having vile communications come out of my mouth. I'm going to be taking a stand for Jesus. We don't do what we'll never do, a same-sex marriage. We've done things differently to where it will never, ever happen. Made it in our bylaws. And I don't care what kind of pressure comes on. When that ruling first came out in Washington, we started getting phone calls that were coming in wanting to just rent our place, rent our equipment, because they were trying to force the issue into the churches. So we're living in a time where the world wants us to join them in their debauchery in various different ways, including through the media. And every time we're allowing the media to glorify homosexuality, glorify immorality, adultery, and whatever, whenever we're allowing it into our home, we're not being like Daniel. We're saying, it's okay. It's okay for the world to bring this into my life when God's word would say, no, we shouldn't bring it into our life. Because, they could even do that. Oh, why are you against homosexual marriage? Because we actually just did your Netflix. We just checked your Netflix. We just checked your Amazon. We just checked your downloads. And so, you Christians, now aren't you Christians supposed to care about adultery? Aren't you supposed to care about sexual immorality and nudity and stuff like that? And so, how come you watched all these? You hypocrite? And so that's how I want my mind to be governed. I pray yours too. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Daniel. And God, what an amazing man you used. And because of his devotion to you, we have the most incredible prophetic word that deals with the days that lay ahead for us. And I just pray by the power of your Spirit, you'd help us as your people to be unstained from this world, to live and walk in holiness, to live in service to you until you come. And God, we pray for this judge and his family down in Oregon and all that they're up against and how they've blown through hundreds of thousands of dollars, Lord, and selling their house and other things, taking a simple stand for you that just should be so simple in a country that supposedly is a Christian country. And yet we've been infiltrated and deceived and manipulated, God, by the media, by the education system, to change our convictions as a country, to change from fearing you to embracing the immoral culture that is surrounding us. And God, I pray that you would help every soul in this room, Lord, to have strength and power of your Spirit to set them free from the effects of this cancer that is among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
When the stars burn down and the earth wears out, and we stand before the throne with the witnesses who have gone before, we will rise and all applaud, singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. When the hands of time wind fully down and the earth is rolled up like a scroll, the trumpets will call and the world will fall to its knees as we go home. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Star of the morning, light of salvation, majesty. God of all mysteries, Lord of the universe, righteous King. Star of the morning, light of salvation, majesty. God of all mysteries, Lord of the universe, righteous King. There will come a day, standing face to face, in a moment we'll be like him. He will wipe our eyes dry, take us up to his side, and forever we will be his. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God.
Blessing is speaking well of honor. He's our God and King and glory because he is above all the heavens and the earth and worthy to be worshipped and praised. Amen. May God help us to walk and serve him until he comes. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Till we can fellowship again.